This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Chip Roy and Matt McCall are the two candidates in the runoff for the Republican Party for the 21st Congressional District. And we're going to be hearing from them momentarily. On May 3rd, the Democrats in that runoff will be joining us, Mary Wilson and Joseph Kopser. Our plan for today is to focus on the issues that are important to Republican voters. If you have a question along those lines, it's not a speech, not a personal attack, then we invite you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The questions need to be open, available for both candidates to answer. And if you are a Republican voter in the 21st District, we really want to hear from you. We'll move you to the top of our line, top of the list, if you got a question for our candidates. Here are some dates to know about. That on Monday, April 23rd, that's the last day to register to vote for the runoff. First day of early voting is Monday, May 14th. The last day of early voting is Friday, May 18th. And Election Day is on the 22nd, Tuesday. The candidates are going to get 2 minutes for opening comments, and then we're going to go round robin and we'll ask them questions, and they get 2 minutes to answer each question. If a candidate makes an accusation, characterizes the other opponent or their campaign or what they stand for, they lose the remainder of that time, and then the opponent is given a chance to respond to that. We do that because we want to focus on candidates talking about themselves and talking about what they stand for and what they're going to work for, and not making accusations and talking about the other guy and keeping things positive. Again, the number to call in is 210-614-8980, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can tweet at us at @tprsource. And so we're going to go ahead and start off with this here issues forum, and we have us on the line. We're joined by Chip Roy, and you're going to go first, sir, and you have 2 minutes.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you. Apologize for not being in the studio. My day job gets in the way, and Matt, I wish I could be there to engage with you right there in person in the studio, but I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show. I'm grateful to be in the runoff after finishing in first place with 27% of the vote on March 6th among 18 candidates, which we felt was an extraordinary accomplishment, and then particularly coming in first place in Bexar County in San Antonio. And I'm running because I think we have the opportunity of a lifetime to reclaim national unity around our core constitutional structure that enables us to simply agree to disagree. And I've said this a lot on the campaign trail. Let Texas be Texas. Let California be California. I'm a proud Texan. My family came to Central Texas around 1850. My mom grew up on Randolph Air Force Base. My dad is a polio survivor who grew up in West Texas, went to Texas Tech, met and married my mom 50 years ago in Austin. They just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. And I'm running also to reclaim our God-given rights, rights that are protected and enshrined in the Constitution, and to protect Texas from the long arm of the federal bureaucrats in Washington and the never-ending cycle of congressional politicians who essentially campaign as conservatives only to let the swamp run the show. We've seen it time and time again. I've shown throughout my career in both the private and public sectors, Texans know exactly what they'll get. A candidate who will have an immediate impact on day one to help President Trump cut job-killing federal regulations, strengthen our military, an issue very important in San Antonio, and keep D.C. out of Texas way. Conservatives need dependable reinforcements in Washington, D.C., and there's a reason why so many conservatives have endorsed me. And it's not, you know, because of my looks. It's because of what I've been doing. I'm proud to be endorsed by Texans such as Ted Cruz, Rick Perry, Louie Gohmert, and current Congressman for Texas District 21, Lamar Smith. Proud to be endorsed by the San Antonio Family Association, the San Antonio Tea Party, Texas Right to Life, Texans for Fiscal Responsibility, and Conservative Freedom Caucus leaders Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows,
okay,
who I'd be proud to partner with.
That's
so
2 minutes.
Voters have a clear choice.
All right, so now let's go over to the other runoff candidate for the Republican Party for the 21st Congressional District, and this is Matt McCall. Sir, you have 2 minutes to give your opening statements.
David, thank you for having me here in the studio. I am Matt McCall, and it is a privilege to be here, and it's a privilege to be running. And we have a great democracy and a great country, but we're a country that is off track. And we're off track because we continue to send lawyers and political types, a political ruling class, to Washington instead of citizens. And I ran twice before against Lamar Smith in the Republican Party primary. He did beat us. But I ran because we have a crisis of leadership, and it's meant to be a citizens' legislature, and citizens need to run. I own an unusual business. I have an FDA-certified human tissue bank, and I provide human tissue to the American military in Europe and in Asia for transplant. This is not a business that you get rich at. It is a very rewarding business, though, and I've enjoyed it. And I've traveled in 45 countries for business and personal interest. And I believe that one should take their skill set and their passions and take it to Washington and fight for our values and go home. I've made a pledge to go for 6 years. That's it. And I'll be out if you choose to send me to Washington, D.C. I don't have any Washington, D.C. establishment endorsements, none. My endorsements are here in the district. People like Red McComb and Tom Frost of Frost Bank and the San Antonio Police Department. So the people that are here, the businessmen that are here, want the businessmen that's from here. I live in the district in the house I was raised in that I bought when my mother was dying and was losing the house. I want to serve you and be a part of the community, which I have been. Thank you so much. I look forward to this discussion. Please call in with questions.
All right, and that was Matt McCall. He is the Republican candidate, one of the two in the runoff. So now we get to our questions, and so we're going round robin. We're alternating who goes first. So I'm going to go start off with you, Matt McCall, again, and then we'll hear from Chip Roy 2 minutes on this. And so the first question is, why, since this is for the runoff for the Republican nomination, so it's all about being a Republican. You know, this is about Republican stuff, okay? So why are you a Republican, and why are you the right Republican to lead that district in the 21st? Talk about your relationship to the district. Talk about why being a Republican. Were you born into it, or did you have a moment where you decided, this is my party, it really speaks to me? So, Mr. McCall, you go ahead.
Well, yes, I was born into a family that, well, my parents voted Republican. My grandparents, of course, voted Democrat. My grandfather was born here in Texas 5 years after Reconstruction, and I think it would have killed him to vote Republican. But that was because he remembered that. And yet, you know, I'm a conservative, and this is a conservative party. And I think it has been truly a party without a philosophy, and that it needs to get back to being the party, or get to being the party of the Constitution. The Libertarian Party, to me, has been hijacked by a bunch of purists who don't really want to get involved, and they don't really want to persuade. They just want it all their way or nothing. And the Republicans have been the party that just gives in incrementally to the socialist philosophy in the Democrat Party. And so I want to represent the Republican Party and help get us back to the Constitution and get it away from being the party of personalities and my little team versus your little team or my friends versus yours, but the party that believes in freedom and opportunity and growth through very limited government, and that our rights come from God and not, then they're articulated in the Constitution, but they're not given to us from the government. So that's why I'm Republican. After I graduated from college, I saved up my money and took a trip around the world. And when I went to India and I saw the incredible poverty, and it affected me. And when I looked at the time, they had a very socialistic government. They were aligned with Russia and the Cold War. And I realized that free markets and freedom produce more economic growth and better opportunity for everyone, and it is the way to go. So even as a young man, I was a conservative, and that's why I'm associated with this party.
Okay, now let's go to Chip Roy, the other candidate in the Republican nomination, Republican runoff. And so, Mr. Roy, go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Not unlike a lot of Texans, my family had a history of being Democrats. My grandfather was a 35-year Democrat county clerk in Runnels County, Texas. That was the way things were for a long time. But you know what? Like many Texans, my family was made up of conservatives, people who believed in God and believed in the power of people and believed in our constitutional limited government. And like most of the Texans in the 21st Congressional District, I'm a conservative and a proud one. As someone who grew up as a child of the 80s, if you will, under President Ronald Reagan, I saw what was possible when you empower the people, when you give the people opportunity to achieve, whether they're first-generation Americans who came here and immigrated here legally, whether they are someone who's a multi-generational American who's been here for a long time, you're able to achieve based on the hard work of yourself and, frankly, of that which was passed down to you from your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents. I believe in generational prosperity and how you can achieve the American dream. And I think that is a conservative principle that is reflected more in the Republican Party than in the Democrat Party. And unfortunately, the Republican Party has veered from a lot of its core convictions, allowing spending to run out of control, to $21 trillion of debt, allowing judges and bureaucrats to run out of control, to limit our ability to govern ourselves. And so fundamentally, I believe we need to get back to our core convictions and get back to our core constitutional principles so that we can empower people, empower Texas, and defend ourselves against interference from Washington and the meddling of bureaucrats and judges telling us how to live our lives. At the end of the day, a conservative principle starts with the individual, self-reliance, personal responsibility, and also community.
All right.
And what our families and communities can do.
We're out of time there. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. I want to remind you that your calls, your questions are welcome in this forum. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We've got Chip Roy with us and Matt McCall, the two candidates in the runoff for the Republican Party for the 21st Congressional District. That's the one Lamar Smith is leaving. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We've got the two candidates that made the cut. At first, there were 18. Now there are two who are in a runoff for the Republican Party for the 21st Congressional District, Chip Roy and Matt McCall. We welcome your questions, 210-614-8980 for the candidates. And now this question will go directly to Chip Roy and get his response. So winnability is something that voters need to consider. It's an issue. Voters want to make sure that their district remains red. Republican voters do. So do you think there's going to be a blue wave in November? Historically, the party in the White House loses seats in Congress in these off years. Why are you the best candidate, the best choice to prevent that from happening, the blue wave from reaching the 21st district? And so, Chip Roy, go ahead, sir.
Sure, thanks. First of all, the 21st Congressional District in Texas is a conservative district. And the Democrat Party is far out of lockstep with the people of this district. If you look at the voters, not just of this district, but across the state of Texas, let's look what happened in the primary. About 1 million Democrats showed up, yes. There seems to be some increasing enthusiasm among Democrat voters, and we should be mindful of that. And so I and or Matt, if he were to be chosen, will run very hard through November to make sure that we hold this seat as a Republican or a red seat, if you will. But keep in mind that 1.5 million Republicans showed up in the primary in March across the state. And in this district, the numbers were somewhere around 50,000 Democrats and 70,000 or so Republicans. It is a very Republican and a very conservative district. But all of that are just numbers. We have to be able to mobilize people to show up to the polls to inspire them and to win minds and hearts. And we do that by talking about and making sure that they will understand and believe that we will do the things we're saying we will do. With me, voters know that they can depend on not just what I'm telling them, but what I've done. I've got a proven track record as a lifelong movement conservative fighting on behalf of Texans as an advisor to Governor Perry, as a chief of staff to Senator Ted Cruz, as a lawyer for John Cornyn, as a federal prosecutor. They've seen me working hard to defend them, to make sure that we limit the size and scope of government, to stop amnesty 3 times, to stop a gun registry bill in 2014, to stop spending, to stop earmarks. We've had a successful track record at pushing back against the largesse and the growth of the federal government. So I think voters, if they know that and they know they can depend on that, they will be excited to show up in November and to make sure that we stop a blue wave. It's a frame of mind, and we just got to make sure we win minds and hearts.
That was Chip Roy. Now let's give Matt McCall an opportunity to respond to the question, why are you the candidate, the best choice if people are focused on winnability, keeping the district red?
Well, David, that's a great question. The district, Lamar Smith actually won this district once against a Democrat with 90% of the vote. This last time he won it with 58% of the vote. So the district is changing, but it is still a solidly Republican district. And indeed, we'll work hard to win in November. But the Republican Party, you know, interestingly, I went to the Democrat forum that they had a debate at Incarnate Word for All Four. And it was very interesting because they weren't talking about how to win new people to the party. They were just talking about the rules and the lines and how to get their people to show up. And I want to talk about building the party. You know, if you are a minority and you're married, you probably vote Republican. Or you at least have very conservative values, and the Republican Party needs to be reaching out to them and bringing them into the party. Because they're pro-life, and they're pro-God, and they're pro-family, and they're pro-military, and they need to be voting Republican, because they're with us on the issues. And just like my grandfather always voted Democrat, a lot of these people have always voted Democrat. So this district, to keep it Republican and to build our base here and build the base statewide, we need to be winning these people through personal relationships. I live here in the district. I know the people I'm working. And I have a very good track record of pursuing this. Running twice against Lamar Smith when it was a very unpopular thing to do in certain circles. But he'd been in for 28 and 30 years. It was time for the next generation. So I've done the hard thing, and I've been here to do it. Everything that my opponent says is wrong with Congress, I would agree, and that's why I've been fighting to change it consistently and persistently at great personal cost, as every candidate has.
All right, time for another question, and that was Matt McCall. And so the number to call in if you've got a question is 210-614-8980. It's an interesting district, has a chunk of San Antonio, has a chunk of Austin, and it's got a lot of hill country in it as well.
There's got to be a few Republican voters listening on to NPR.
There are. But so here's a question that, Matt, you're going to take first. So both of you candidates say that you want to balance the budget and you want to raise spending on the military and you want to cut taxes again. So what would you cut out of the budget to do that? And can you please explain using some numbers to put behind that? So, like, for example, we know that Planned Parenthood receives about $500 million a year in government grants and contracts for non-abortion-related health care services. But so we got to find $1 trillion to balance the budget, and that's right now, even before another tax cut. So what would you cut in order to meet these objectives?
The military spending has been very consistent at about 5% of GDP for the last 50 years. So the military spending isn't sinking our country and isn't busting the budget. I'm concerned that the president who tweeted out that there's $125 billion worth of waste, fraud, and abuse in the military came back and asked us for another $60 billion. I make my living by serving the military, by serving our soldiers and our veterans, and I very much want to see them and the mission taken care of. But we also owe a great responsibility to our children and our grandchildren, to the taxpayers and the future taxpayers. And we need to squeeze the waste out of government and the waste out of the military. So we need to look at that waste, fraud, and abuse. We need to listen to our generals about the priorities and not just to politicians about what they want to do. Also, the biggest killer of the budget is the entitlements. And we have to absolutely change our whole philosophy on entitlements. We're seeing the tremendous cost, the high cost of good intentions. When Social Security was instituted, the average life expectancy was 60 years old, and you get a check at 65. We're now living to 80 and 90 years old, and this system isn't working. My mother was one of 12. I'm the youngest of six. I had two children. This is not what a pyramid scheme is supposed to look like. And this is how it has been structured. So we pay in, and we're really paying in for our fathers and mothers and for our grandparents. And the Social Security Trust Fund is going to go broke about the time that I retire, and we have to change this.
All right. Now, Chip Roy, your response, sir. What would you cut in order to balance the budget?
Sure. First of all, a lot of Republicans talk about the need for a balanced budget amendment. And I do certainly support a balanced budget amendment, but although I think it should have a spending limit component so it's not used to unnecessarily raise taxes. But we also have the tools now to push back on the blatant and rampant spending that has resulted in $21 trillion of debt and now over $1 trillion a year in deficit spending, which is just unconscionable for our children and our grandchildren, not to mention undermining our current economy. We can use the debt ceiling to push back on those things. Defense spending is obviously one of the most important functions of our federal government. It goes to the heart of our core constitutional duty. And that's the answer to the question. We have to return to our core constitutional function of government. If you recall, in the founding of the country, we had four cabinet members: the Secretary of Treasury, the Secretary of War, the Secretary of State, and the Attorney General. And you know, now we have a whole room full, and we have bureaucrats that are soaking up a lot of expenditures. The Department of Education unnecessarily taking dollars into a great big federal bureaucracy, unnecessary when we can just either block grant those dollars to the states or get the federal government involved in the first place. Medicaid, we could save $5 billion a year if we just block granted Medicaid to the state of Texas, that we could use that money more effectively to create high-risk pools and help the people of Texas more directly and save money in the process. We're basically laundering money through Washington, D.C., where it gets wasted and spent on bureaucrats instead of being focused on the few necessary programs that we might be able to use. The Defense Department, no doubt, can have savings and eliminate waste. Every single department needs to do that. But right now, our men and women in uniform fighting to defend us around the globe simply don't have all the tools they need. We have pilots who don't have planes to fly. I was just talking to a Naval Academy graduate and veteran yesterday. We need to make sure that we create an environment where our Defense Department has the tools that it needs.
And we're out of time with that answer from Chip Roy. We're going to take another break, and then we'll be right back. We'll be hearing from our candidates, Matt McCall, Chip Roy. They're in the runoff for the Republican nomination for the 21st Congressional District. You can call in with your questions, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this quick break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Chip Roy, Matt McCall, they're the two candidates looking for the ticket to the general election under the Republican banner for the 21st Congressional District, looking for the opportunity to fill the seat left by longtime Congressman Lamar Smith. We're having an issues forum this afternoon with them, and you can call in with your questions. Numbers 210-614-8980. Bill is on the line, and Bill, you're on the air. Go right ahead, and Chip Roy will be the first person to answer your question.
Well, the question is for both of them, and yes, I am a Republican voter, and I do listen to NPR as other mediums. First of all, Lamar Smith has had some very strong opinions on global warming and climate change. Bottom line is, do you agree or disagree with Congressman Smith?
All right, Bill, thank you for the question, and Chip Roy, sir, you go first.
Well, I appreciate that question. Thanks for calling in. I do agree with Congressman Smith on his views on what is often referred to as climate change or global warming. I think that Congressman Smith has been a leader on this front and importantly has been part of trying to push back on, I think, a lot of the misinformation that's out there on the issues of global warming and the strong disagreement among scientists in this area. When you look at the data and you look at what's actually happening, a number of things. You get into back and forth about temperature increases and what's causing it and human involvement or not. And there's a lot of debate about that, and it's not as uniform as some like it to like to make it. What we really have is a significant negative impact on humanity and on the quality of life for people, not just in the United States but around the world, because of the hysteria and the scare tactics around this issue. In Europe, for example, we have 54 million people choosing between heating and eating because of how far the folks that have gotten involved with this issue have pushed it, so that they're no longer able to use some of the fossil fuels, including, by the way, clean burning natural gas, if we could export it from the United States after all of the wonderful technologies that have been advancing in the United States. And instead, you've got people actually burning wood in Europe, making it worse. The quality of life differential in the parts of the world where we're able to use the technologies that we're able to use through clean burning natural gas and oil and even some clean coal are extraordinary when you compare the United States as compared to China and India and some of our other countries around the world. We want to make sure that we're continuing to advance our civilization so that hospitals have power, so that our lives are, you know, we have electricity to power up our houses and have warmth and air conditioning in the summer, and make sure that we have access to all of the advancements to our quality of life. And that's what we need to focus on.
Chip Roy, sir, thank you for that answer. Now let's go over to Matt McCall. And the question is about how would you follow Lamar Smith's example on climate change, or how would you differ with him on that?
I also very much appreciate Lamar Smith's work on climate change. And I agree that the data has been screwed with. And I'm like Lamar in that I want good, clean data. You know, we've recently heard that half of NOAA's temperature sensors don't work. And then so they impute data in to the data set from those sensors that don't work. And that's skewing the whole thing. It's rubbish. Give us some good numbers and let's look at it. But I can tell you what I am for. I'm for clean air and clean water, and I'm for affordable energy. And, you know, the...
Go ahead.
Excuse me. The Obama administration wanted to stimulate the economy, and they wasted a bunch of money. They could have taken all of the trucks in the United States, and if they really wanted clean air, and converted them to natural gas. They could have done a lot of things, but they want the issue. They don't actually want to make a difference. And I want to make a difference by having cleaner air and cleaner water and a better environment for our children and our grandchildren. And that's what we should be after. But I want to go back to the previous question and talk about the debt. And, you know, I appreciate my opponent saying that we need to clean up the spending and cut wasteful spending, as I had said as well, but it's the entitlements. That's where all the money is, and it's killing us, and it's exploding. And if we don't address the serious problems of Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, then we are sunk. If interest rates go from 2% to back to the normal 5%, the whole house of cards could come down. And so I'm trying to be the honest candidate and saying, look, we have serious, gigantic problems, and we have to address those, and it's not just around the edges.
All right, and now let's go back to the phone lines with calls from listeners. And Nicole, you're on the air, and your question will go first to Matt McCall. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was just calling because I've been listening, and I heard the comment about not hearing Republican listeners on NPR, and I found myself agreeing with some of the things that you both were saying about the budget. So my question is, what ways do you think that you could reach out to people who may or may not be on the fence about their beliefs, and how you could convince them to maybe agree with you a little bit more despite some other beliefs that you may not agree with?
All right, Nicole, thank you for that question.
Is Nicole still with us?
Sure, go ahead. Nicole,
can you clarify that just a little bit? I'm not really sure I understand. Are you saying their beliefs about the budget or what?
Or reaching across the aisle and bringing...
Are you talking about bringing people into the party or...
I'm saying as far as not maybe knowing who to vote for at this point, so necessarily hearing things what you're saying about budgets needing to be cut, putting your spending in the military and things, and then I also heard you say earlier about, you know, being pro-life, other things that more Democrat-leaning voters may not fully agree with. So I'm saying if I am stuck in the middle, what's a way that you could feel that you could reach, like you said, across the pond and help convince me that you are the choice that would be best for me?
All right. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for that. As I say, politics is the art of addition, bringing more people to your camp.
Yes.
So how would you do that?
You know, I had a guy that actually sold me this jacket that I'm wearing today at Macy's, and he was a black guy, and I said I was running for Congress, and he said, are you Republican or Democrat? I said, I'm Republican. And he said, oh, I'm a Democrat. And I said, you know, I got a question for you. Do you want me to respect you because you're a black man or because you're a man made in the image of God? And he paused for a second, and he said, man, I really like you. What are you running for? You see, because I think that the racists are often, frankly, in the Democrat Party. They're the ones that are always talking about race. And I don't care whether you're black, white, pink, or green. I care about your character, as Martin Luther King talked about. I care about your babies, and I want you to come over to the side of your values, because there are so many people in the Democrat Party that are pro-life, because they know it's not a puppy in there, it's a human being. And we ought to be the party. Look, 75% of Americans today still say that they're Christians, whatever that means to them. But I tell you what, I'm a Christian, and what it means to me is that I'm a sinner, and I need mercy. And I think that we should be the party of mercy. And so I have mercy on people, that the women that have had abortions. It's been incredibly tragic and painful in their lives. But I don't say that it's okay to have abortions. And so I want to reach out to people and be the party that cares about their character, their lives, their economic lives, their children and their grandchildren. I want to be the party that believes in them and they're in creating more opportunity for all the people. For the last 20 years, the middle class and the lower class have not had a raise, but the top 1% has done extraordinarily well, and it's time for that to end.
All right, now let's give Chip Roy an opportunity to answer the question. And I think the question is about how do you reach out and bring other people into the party?
Well, thanks, and I appreciate that question and for you calling in and listening to the show. Right after President Trump was elected in November of 2016, I wrote a piece that appeared in the National Review called Unity Through Federalism. And my basic point was, in light of what we were hearing from a lot of people in California and around the country saying, oh my gosh, President Trump's been elected, you know, let's leave, let's, you know, Cal exit. People could see what it felt like as a conservative under President Obama's tenure. And that the answer and the chance for us to unite as a country comes through our ability to agree to disagree. Let California be California, let Texas be Texas. Get back to our federalist system. De-escalate politics. We shouldn't be waking up on Sunday mornings hanging on to the balance of what's being going to be said on some Sunday show, instead of being at church and being with our families. We should de-escalate politics by making less of a focus on what Washington is doing if we can minimize Washington's influence in our lives. Get back to defending the United States of America. Have a strong national defense if we're asking our men and women to go into harm's way. Make sure they've got the tools they need. Have a strong national defense. And get back to the basics of what our Constitution meant our federal government was supposed to do. I think there's great unity across parties. People are fed up with business as usual in Washington. They're fed up with $21 trillion of debt, and they don't understand how their leaders can be so incompetent across both parties. They're fed up with healthcare costs spiraling, and that both parties are at fault on that. And that they're fed up with, like I said, the defense, that people being sent into battle without the tools that they need. Look, I've worked with Democrats, I've worked with, you know, so-called establishment Republicans, and I've worked with movement conservatives for a number of years to accomplish great things, passing civil justice and tort reform legislation, making sure that we can get good judges appointed. And I think that if we can come together under our constitutional structure of government, unite under federalism, we can all truly be proud and unite around our country again.
All right, now let's go to another caller, and William is on the line. William, welcome to The Source. You're on the air, and Chip Roy will answer your question first.
Yes, my question was, I wanted to see where both candidates stand on the legalization and decriminalization of marijuana and the amount of revenue it can create for our state.
Okay, William, thank you for that. So Chip Roy, marijuana legalization, decriminalization.
Well, again, thanks for the question. I have this issue has come up a decent number of times out on the campaign trail, and I'll say this: I am not of the personal belief that it is in the best interest of the state of Texas, as a policy matter, for us to legalize or decriminalize marijuana. I don't think you have to go too much further than walking around the streets of Denver right now and looking at some of the impacts we're seeing in Denver to see that that may not be the best policy choice. I also believe that, again, back to my point about federalism, that at the end of the day, if there are a number of states, which there now are, I think upwards of 9 or 10, that are going down the road of a policy on marijuana with respect to recreational use or even medicinal use, that would mean that there's differences of opinion from state to state, that, again, with the laboratories of democracy, we ought to respect those differences and not necessarily have the federal government with its long arm reaching into a state like Colorado or some other state and telling them what to do, enforce transfer across the borders and interstate commerce, make sure we protect our borders and the enormous criminal element along the southern border that's not driven just by marijuana, but by all sorts of narcotic transfers. As a federal prosecutor, I had to deal with that and prosecute drug runners in federal court. And this is a huge problem with respect to drug trafficking, and it won't end with respect to changing our policies on marijuana. As a cancer survivor, I saw some people who dealt with medicinal marijuana use. I never got to the point where I thought anything like that was necessary, and obviously Texas has gone down that road a little bit. This is a national debate and a national discussion that is going to be being held over time. I think at a national level, we ought to do as much as we can to defer to the states where it's appropriate and make sure we continue to uphold and defend our borders in the process.
All right, Chip Roy, and now let's bring that Williams question to Matt McCall. Where are you on the legalization of marijuana?
William, are you still with us?
No, he's not. It's not going to just
okay. William, thank you for your question. William, I too am 100% anti-drugs. Okay, that's the family I was raised in. My mother said, you know, if you plant corn, you get corn. If you plant beans, you get beans. She said that nobody starts on heroin, that everybody starts on having a beer and then smoking a joint. So I'm completely personally against it. And like my opponent, I want to get back to federalism. I think we should have an Article 5 convention of states. I think I have a way of forcing one that will allow each state then, if we get back to federalism, to have their own personalities. But you know what I'm really concerned about too, William, is that we are locking so many people up in jail. So I don't want to decriminalize it, but it's time we had a real conversation about what we're doing here. Because, you know, to me, you create, the way you actually create a hardened criminal is you put a kid in jail for buying a dime bag of pot and he gets raped. And then he loses all of his conscience, and he does whatever he wants, and he's angry and bitter at society, and we've created a hardened criminal. And as a Christian, though I think what he's done is wrong and against the law, I don't want to do that to him. And I think that we have to be thinking about these things, and we've got to really have some difficult conversations. I'm for freedom in our country, but I'm also for prudence. And we've got to talk about consequences. And you do look at the streets of Denver and the streets of Amsterdam, and you see the incredible cost that these drugs have wreaked on society and on lives, and it is not good.
Okay, Matt McCall, we're out of time on that question. We're going to take another break, the final break of our forum, as we talk about the issues important to District 21. We're talking to the two candidates in the runoff for the Republican nomination for that district, and they will be going. The winner of these two will be going to November for the general election to face the Democrat. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, we've got Matt McCall, and on the line is Chip Roy, two candidates in the runoff for the Republican Party for the 21st Congressional District. And we've got some callers online with their questions. If you want to call in, the number is 210-614-8980. Naylene is with us, and Naylene, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Sure. I got a question for both of you. If you build the border wall, how are you going to pay for it?
Okay, Naylene. And Matt McCall, that's your question first off, and you have 2 minutes, sir.
Well, when a home builder builds a house, he builds it on spec. And then he sells the house, and then the house is paid for. So who paid for the house? Well, the builder does initially. And so when President Trump tells us that he's going to build the wall and Mexico is going to pay for it, I do believe that he has some ways to effectively have Mexico pay for it. And we may have to front the cash, but we are renegotiating NAFTA. And the bottom line is that the border problem is something that Mexico needs to help us with. And I think that is really true. But to me, the border wall and the border is about immigration, but even more so, it's about nationhood. And does it mean something to be a nation or not? And does it mean something to be a citizen or not? And I believe that it does. Just because I want to seal the border, I am tired of hearing Democrats yell that you're a racist and a bigot and a homophobe and you're a Nazi and everything else. No, I'm a nationalist, and I believe that nationhood should mean something. We have 6.5 million people who have immigrated legally to this country over the last 10 years. Our system is not completely broken. We have some problems. We need to fix those problems. We're America. We fix our problems. And so I do think there's options on fixing the wall, but I think that, you know, there are 750 dead American soldiers in an American military cemetery in Mexico City that fought for this border. And it's time that our politicians started fighting for the border the way those men did. And I intend to do that when you send me to Washington. I'm only going for 6 years. I'm going for the fight, not the perks, power, and prestige. And I'll be coming back home to this district after that.
All right. Now let's go to Chip Roy, also the candidate in the Republican runoff for the 21st. How would you pay for the border wall?
Well, again, also, thanks for the question. With respect to border security, it's clear that a wall and fencing is central to effective border security. I'm always entertained by some politicians who will use phrases like it's a 19th century solution for a 21st century problem. I've never understood that. I don't see ranchers pulling their fences down and allowing their animals to wander loose, or the White House pulling fences down from around its borders, or our nuclear facilities pulling fences down to secure it. Fences work. They work for a reason. We need fencing and we need a wall in the appropriate places along the border, if not along most or all of the border. We saw it work effectively in Southern California, where apprehensions in the 1990s were upwards of 600 and some odd thousand, now down closer to 50 or 60,000. It works. And then people are starting to run around to areas of the border that don't have fencing. So we use fencing, and it's part of sending a message that we're serious about the rule of law. The rule of law is what sets apart the United States from most other places in the world, particularly our friend to the south in Mexico. That's the reason why almost 1 in 9 Mexicans live in the United States. It's to have the opportunity that comes with a society that respects and defends the rule of law. We can fix this if we have the willpower to do it. Building fencing and wall along the southern border is not shouldn't be so astronomically expensive that we can't afford to do it. We can adjust our budget, and we should do across-the-board cuts to our budget, much like the BCA caps that were put in place in 2011 that got our budget largely under control, or at least heading in the right direction. Do across-the-board cuts, do what we need to do to fund the construction of the wall, end visa overstays, put the penalties in place that need to exist, end chain migration, end diversity visas, fix our immigration system, and it will make it a system that is America first, but actually better for the immigrants who are endangered by our unconscionable system that, in the name of compassion, allows people to die on the border, and it's unconscionable that we do that.
All right. Now, another question, and this will go to you, Chip Roy, first to respond. All 17 of the United States intelligence agencies have agreed that Russia meddled in the 2016 presidential election. Do you agree with this? Are you concerned? What should we be doing to prevent this from happening again, specifically now in the upcoming congressional election?
Whether or not I agree with what intelligence agencies have said or haven't said, I think is difficult to answer if you don't have the materials in front of you as you would if you were in Congress or in certain committees where you've got the briefings that are being given to you. And as a former federal prosecutor, I'm typically pretty loath to comment on the things that I'm not able to see that our leaders do see on a daily basis. Do we have serious concerns and reservations about the information that seems to be fairly obvious and evident that there was efforts by Russia to interfere with our elections? But none of that should be surprising. Those of us who have grown up and living through the 80s and know that the extent to which Russia has been our enemy in many respects, and certainly a country that has had counterintelligence agents throughout our country and looking into how to interfere with our country for years, know that that's a problem. And frankly, I think that it goes to the core of our national security. And after 8 years of weakness under the Obama administration, where we walked away from our partners in the Eastern Bloc of Europe, and when we were promised them to work with them on missile defense and ways to hold the line. When I was working for Senator Ted Cruz, and I was very blessed to be able to go travel to Israel and meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu, and travel to Ukraine, and travel to Poland, and travel to Estonia,
Chip Williams, I apologize. I'm going to have to wrap you up early in order so we can fit the closing arguments into the section. So we're going to give Matt McCall a minute and 15 seconds to respond, and then we'll be able to have a minute closing comments at the end of that. So, Mr. McCall, go right ahead about what to do about Russia meddling in the elections.
I believe every 80 to 100 years, every single society throughout all of history has had a great crisis. We've had three: the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the Great Depression, and I think that we are in the midst of, at the beginning stages of, the fourth great American crisis. In the last great Russian crisis, the Soviet Union dissolved and they lost their empire. And I think that this pattern is recognized by Mr. Putin. And yes, he was screwing in our elections. I actually don't think he was trying to help Trump or Clinton. I think he was trying to hasten the next great American crisis. And as a result, he's been very successful. We're finding out that we have real problems in our FBI. We're finding out we're losing basic confidence in our basic institutions. And so he would like us to lose our empire, if you were. We have military operating in 100 countries around the world, and he wants to end that. But we're a great country, and we're going to get through this time, and he's not going to have the effect that he would like to have had on us, because we're going to get past it. But did he do things? Yes. Was it a failure on our part? Yes. Does he normally try? Yes.
All right, so let's go to our closing comments, and each candidate gets a minute to wrap things up, and so we're going to go first to Chip Roy, sir. You go ahead.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having us on the show. It's a great opportunity to visit with so many of the great voters of the 21st Congressional District, and as I said before, I'm running because I think we have the opportunity of a lifetime to reclaim our national unity, get back to our core constitutional structure that enables us to agree to disagree as a country and let Texas be Texas and let California be California. As a proud Texan, I want to protect our God-given rights, the rights enshrined and protected in the Constitution, and make sure that we send people to Washington that you can count on to honor their commitment to defend and fight for the people of this district, to make sure that we fight for a strong military, fight for a secure border, fight for a strong economy, fight to make sure that we've got health care freedom, which we don't have right now with a federal government that's meddling and in the way. And I'm proud to have the endorsements that I have from great Texan leaders like Senator Cruz and Congressman Lamar Smith and Governor Rick Perry, but also local Texans and activists and groups throughout the district. And I'm running. I think that there's a clear choice between a lifelong proven dedicated movement conservative and an unproven candidate who's been running as one.
All right, sir. Now we go to our final candidate, and this is Matt McCall. Go ahead, sir.
David, thanks for having me on. I'm running for this office to make a difference for this district. I bought my parents' house and live in the house I was raised in. I have run before because I'm passionate about this district and working for the people of this district. My opponent and I both like philosophy, and we like we love the Constitution, and we're drawn to ideas. But I know the people here, and I want to know the people here and be known by them. And I'm a business owner and an owner of dirt here. My opponent does not live in this congressional district, and he cannot vote for himself, and he wants you to. And he has promised us that he will not move into this district, even if he wins. That is astounding. He says, I'm unproven. I've proven myself by serving our military, which I'm a complete supporter of, and this is Military City USA, and by paying my taxes and by fighting the good fight to serve as the next generation. I want and I'm asking for your vote. Thank you so much, Matt McCall for U.S. Congress.
And that was Matt McCall. The other candidate we heard from was Chip Roy. These are the two candidates in the runoff for the 21st Congressional District. They're looking for the Republican nomination for that. You can start voting for them on May 14th. That's the first day of early voting. Election Day is May 22nd. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.